And welcome to the Generations broadcast on a Thanksgiving Day. Steve Vaughn with me on this edition of the program. Steve, happy Thanksgiving 2021.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if we would make it from 2020 till now. What about you?
By the grace of God.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Thanksgiving last year. I got the COVID just before Thanksgiving last year. Couldn't taste anything of the Thanksgiving meal. And so I am so thankful this year that I can taste.
It's interesting. I got it too. I'm going to say I got it maybe 4 to 5 days after Thanksgiving. I think it was my son that gave it to me.
You know, so you might have got it for me. Yeah.
But the good news is I got my taste back. But I'm going to say March of this year. Praise the Lord, that he gives us taste and we can enjoy his good gifts.
Oh, yeah.
My wife still does not have her taste back after falling out of the attic 8 years ago. You know, she had a brain injury. But she still enjoys the texture and she gets some, salty taste and some sweet taste and such. But always thankful for what God has done for us. We've come out of a year of significant trial, no question about it. The Swansons have experienced quite a bit of trial this year. But we just continue to recognize the goodness of God. Just, at points we say, oh, the glass is 99.9% full, that 0.1% you're focused on. But then you got to realize that all things work together for good, including the 0.1%. So in the end, it's 100% good.
Yeah. Yeah. God is good all the time.
It's a focal point, though. You got to be focused on the right thing.
That is true. That is true. And if you're not, then my goodness, you're going to have some rough times if you don't have the right perspective.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is God is good all the time. And if you can come into it with that perspective every day, that's good. Our good God has blessed the whole world with lots and lots of his goodnesses. And I just finished a book, called The Rise and Fall of the West. And the biggest takeaway for me was the amazing contributions that came by the followers of Jesus over 2,000 years on the world economy, science, medicine, our civil liberties, et cetera, et cetera. God has blessed the world. And just look around and you see all these amazing blessings. Now, naturally, of course, we experience the spiritual blessings, but there are also the physical blessings that we experience every day. Here's the order of it as I see it, Steve, is first of all to recognize that we have actually received something good, we are blessed.
Yes.
Whatever I ask Bill Jack, how's it going? He always responds with better than I deserve. And I think that's true for all of us. But the goodness of God is all around us. We gotta realize first that we've received something good. Okay. So, I'm actually sipping on my latte right now, believe it or not. I'm still working on my first latte this morning. But that's good. It's good. It's a good thing. But then the second thing, you got to realize that this good thing has come from somewhere. It just didn't appear here. It came from somewhere. This has come from God, who's good all the time. And then we have to respond to his goodness with thanksgiving. I think that's the step or the approach that we need to take.
Absolutely. That everything, I remember Norm Wakefield, he said that one time, he said, we always sing praise God from whom all blessings flow, but he said, really, we should change it to praise God from whom all things flow, whether it's blessings or whether it's trial. Even in the trial, we should consider it joy, because that's what's going to get us to perseverance and maturity in the faith.
Amen. And that's our testimony, I think, as the Swansons this year. We have been through unprecedented trials, overwhelming trials, trials that have just given us the gut punch and taken our breath away at points. But we always have come away from it just confident that God is good and he's working all things for good to those who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. And we have such confidence in that right now. This Thanksgiving, friends, happy Thanksgiving 2021 on the Generations Radio broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we are back on this Thanksgiving 2021. Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn. And thank God for our homes. Thank God for our clothing and our food. You know, here's a data point that I picked up on for my recent book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And this on the chapter, the critical chapter, one of the most interesting chapters, The Rise and Fall of the Western Economy. The average English household income in AD 1300. Guess what it was, Steve?
Oh, goodness. AD 1300?
Yeah, about 700 years ago.
Oh, goodness. Well, if we adjust for inflation, I'm thinking $2,000 or $3,000, maybe.
No. It was $1,176 per year. That's not per month. That's per year.
Wow. $1,176 a year.
$1,176. Yeah, just over $1,000 a year, adjusted for inflation, right? And then 300 years later, okay, 1600 AD, around the time of the Pilgrims, okay, everybody's got a pay raise of up to $1,714. So, you know, you're all the way up to $1,714 by 1600.
Okay, not an extra $1,700. That was up.
No.
From 11 to 17.
So 16. You got a $600 annual raise.
Wow.
Over a period of 300 years. The average income by AD 2000 was $37,500. Okay, so you're doing a lot better.
I
think you're roughly $4,000 by 1800. But now $37,500 for the average English household in 2020 or 2000. Now it would be closer to, you know, $50,000. But for almost 5,800 years of world history, people barely survived. I mean, imagine living on $100 a month, Steve, and that's supposed to include food, clothing, shelter, and toothpaste.
Wow.
And hairspray.
Yeah, but I don't think things cost as much maybe back then. You think that there was like penny candy, I think.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be adjusted for inflation. I mean, these economists have worked hard on this. So, you know, you're still, you know, paying $4 for a bag of potatoes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so you're living on potatoes, but then you got to, you know, pay $6 for a chicken. Well, at $100 a month, you know, you get a chicken a month, three bags of potatoes, and no toothpaste, that kind of thing. So I'm just saying, you know, things are a lot better today than they ever have been. In fact, this year in the United States, okay, the farmers in this country have produced 16 billion bushels of corn.
16 billion?
Now, I did the math on that. That's 2,400 pounds for every man, woman, and child in America.
Holy cow. If I ate that much corn, I'd be like fat.
Yeah. That's a ton. That's a ton.
That is a ton.
Of corn.
That's a ton of corn.
That's 8 pounds a day, okay? Try to picture, you know, an 8 pound sack of corn a
day.
Holy cow. That's like, you know, 7 pans of cornbread per day.
Wow.
Yeah, we're rolling you out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, chickens have produced 112 billion eggs. Okay, that's a lot of work for these guys. 112 billion eggs from American chickens amounts to 340 eggs for every man, woman, and child in America. That would be, what, an egg a day?
Well, yeah.
That's an egg a day.
Dan eats like three. So your
son, he takes care of his share.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's my son. Yeah. And then the cows in America produce 25 billion gallons of milk this year. That's about 74 gallons for every man, woman, and child in America. And all of this, friends, comes from God. All of this comes from God. People live in the city, as we say, They think these things come from the grocery store, but, you know, farmers tell you differently. All this comes from God. You know, I mean, you don't get the grass without the water. You don't get the cows without the grass, and you don't get the chickens without the feed. So all of this comes from God. And I think farmers understand, they get the boom and the bust. Now, we'll experience a little inflation, but we don't, you know, those of us who buy our groceries at the grocery store, we don't think about how all of this comes from God.
Yeah, it's, I grew up in western Kansas, and I saw the wheat fields and the cows and all of that. I knew where that all came from. And I was really, I thought it was funny that people thought that milk came from the grocery store and eggs come from the grocery store, because I knew where it came from. And I was shocked that people actually didn't know that things produce this, and God created all things, and therefore, just as you said, all comes from God.
Yeah, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing the song this time, friends. This is a big Thanksgiving day as we recall all of the blessings with which we have been blessed for the last year, but also what God has done for our nation and for our nations on this Thanksgiving day. You know, how did economies improve such that we are earning 30 times the money we did in the 1600s and 1700s? The answer is simple. God is good. God is good. God is good. And Christian inventors in the West produced breakthrough creative ideas. They invented labor-saving devices that resulted in more division of labor, especially in the 19th to 20th centuries. Now, go all the way back to the 600s, 700s. Do you realize that in Europe, people really did starve to death? And that was not uncommon during periods of famine. But it was Christian inventions that solved the problem of mass starvations due to limited agricultural outputs. And you know, it was the heavy iron plow, complete with a coulter and moldboard, that would use to turn the soil. And that was first mentioned in AD 643 in northern Italy. You don't find the plow anywhere else prior to AD 643 in northern Italy. It was a Christian civilization. Now, you know, a lot of people look at the Dark Ages and they say, well, you know, it was the Dark Ages. Nothing happened. No, there were actually tons of inventions going on. There was an amazing development of economy in the 600s, 700s, 800s because of the Christian influence. Rodney Stark is one of the most important authors of this generation. I don't think he's a Christian. He's a sociologist who's written a number of books on the influence of Christianity upon science, and he's completely dispelled the idea of the Dark Ages, completely obliterated it. There were no Dark Ages. These were the best ages in the history of the world in bringing about amazing inventions. Of the 117 essential inventions of all time, 91% are attributed to these Western Christian nations in Europe. 91% of the great breakthroughs that have resulted in an amazing economy in the present day, that's come through the Western Christian influences. A Christian theologian, monk Theophilus, was the first to publish an invention of the flywheel. And the first eyeglasses appeared in a Dominican monastery in 1306. Some inventions, though, are more revolutionary than others because they free men and women from extreme drudgery by orders of magnitude. And in my book, The Rise and Fall of the Western Economy, I give a couple of examples of these. Now, two inventions, I think, are the most important inventions in all of economic history. And the first is this, the first landmark invention in the history of the world, which really set us all free from the $1,176 annual paycheck issue. Okay, after 5,589 years, there was a Protestant pastor, Reverend William Lee, as curate of Calverton, Nottinghamshire, in England. Okay, this guy's a single guy. And he's trying to court this girl, and she sits around knitting all day long. She didn't like him. Okay, so he's hanging out in her house, and just kind of, you know, trying to win her affections. And whenever he paid his visits, she always took care to be busily employed in knitting, and would pay no attention to his addresses. So you know what happened? He invented the knitting machine.
Wow.
So this is a Christian pastor, a little upset with this woman, but he invents the knitting machine for the first time in 5,600 years of world history. Well, Queen Elizabeth rejected Reverend Lee's application for a patent, and so he went off to France where he died, actually, before he was able to market the product. But his apprentice, a miller named Aston, back in Nottinghamshire, continued improving on the machine, and a new industry is born. Another English inventor, John Kay, added the flying shuttle, once more paving the way to a quick weave, something the world had never seen in 5,700 years. James Hargreaves added his genius to the process by producing the spinning jenny in 1770 and manufacturing the yarn. Initially, the machine was built to produce 8 spools of yarn at a time, increasing quickly to 120 and so on and so forth. So the Reverend William Lee is the man to whom we attribute the greatest breakthrough for the construction of clothing. Because remember, it's food and clothing. Having food and clothing, therewith be content. It's nice to get an iPod. Yes, the iPod's a nice extra. And toothpaste, okay?
Yeah.
That's a nice extra. But you know what? We got to start out with food and clothing. Now you say, well, what about food? Well, as it turns out, the next invention, I would say the second major invention in the history of the world after the plow, would be Cyrus McCormick. Now, who is Cyrus McCormick? Cyrus McCormick is a devoted Christian of the Presbyterian tradition. He invented the world's first automated reaper in 1831 at only 22 years of age. But hang on for a second. His father had worked for 28 years on various iterations of the machine. Okay. So This is a multi-generational vision that is happening in this home school in America. Cyrus McCormick, 22 years of age. It was a mechanical device pulled by horses, sometimes forgotten. The reaper was a multi-generational vision, as I mentioned. By the year of his death, McCormick had sold 500,000 reapers, producing the most important advancement in agriculture since really the development of agriculture in 5,800 years. Men had been hand-cutting hay for 5,800 years of world history until this Christian invention came along. The first mechanical reaper could do the work of 12 men, saving the farmer tremendous time and expense. Subsequently, thousands of iterations of improvement on McCormick's technology have produced modern combines, which can reap 150 to 200 acres per day. Few inventions have enabled such efficiency and division of labor for the developing world. In the words of his biographer, no other man so truly represented the dawn of the industrial era. McCormick's reaper made all other progress possible by removing the fear of famine and the drudgery of farm labor. Biographer Herbert Casson recorded Cyrus McCormick's favorite Bible passage as Paul's doxology in Romans 8:31-36, which, by the way, is also my favorite verse. The inventor would confess his complete dependence on the Lord and his work. This is what Cyrus McCormick says. If it were not the fact that Providence had seemed to assist me in our business, it has at times seemed that I would almost sink under the weight of responsibility hanging upon me, but I believe the Lord helps us out. The inventor was raised on the Westminster Shorter Catechism and regular teaching of the Bible. He was completely convinced of the doctrine of the absolute sovereignty of God. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him? And it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Cyrus McCormick's favorite passage in Scripture, there it is, giving God all the glory, all of the glory, for his wisdom, for his goodness, and for his sovereignty over all things.
There have been so many inventions and scientific discoveries from Christians, and most of them have said because God called us to understand and subdue his creation, to discover him in everything. You've got Gregor Mendel, who is the father of genetics. You've got people like George Washington Carver, who said that he asked God to unlock the peanut, unlock the sweet potato, unlock all of these other things for him. And he came up with hundreds of ways to use these different things because God unlocked them for him. And many of those we're still using today. Christians have had a huge influence on our society.
And we summarize those testimonies, Steve, in the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of Modern Science, going through all of these instances in which Christians, the followers of the carpenter from Galilee, have really brought an amazing blessing to the world. And remember, it has come by Jesus to his followers. Every substantial leap forward in modern medicine came by committed Christians in Western nations. I make that point as well in Epoch. Without exception, these were God-fearing men, humble men, practical men, experimental men, scientists who relied on God for special insight. And friends, I did an interview at one point with Raymond Damadian. He's the inventor of the MRI machine, which is the final of the 7 to 8 most important life-saving medical breakthroughs in all of history. And by the way, they all came by Christian doctors and scientists. So I interviewed Raymond Damadian, who is the inventor of the MRI machine. And the MRI machine, of course, has saved probably hundreds of millions of lives since the 1970s. So I asked him about the secret to scientific breakthroughs on the order of what he had achieved in 1973. And Raymond Damadian told me that two things are essential. He said, first, the inventor must understand everything about the science and the technology thus far developed. But secondly, he said, the inventor needs a flash of brilliance, an inspirational conceptual breakthrough that can only come by God and by his providential mercies in the mind of the human creator. That's what he told me. He gives God all the glory for all of that. He truly believes he just barely missed the Nobel Peace Prize because he's a creationist, an early earth creationist. But the followers of Jesus Christ have been a tremendous blessing to the whole world, especially in the area of economics and the medical field. Would it surprise you, friends, to learn that Jesus Christ has blessed the whole world through these insights and through these discoveries? Would it surprise you that billions of people the world over have been blessed by Gregor Mendel, by Raymond Damadian, by Rentgen, the inventor of the X-ray, by all of the other inventions that have come to bring a blessing to the world, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. This Thanksgiving, let's give all God all the glory and the praise. Let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ for that he has come and he has brought his blessings, far as the curse is found. And friends, if you'd like the full story of what we've been talking about, get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West this holiday season, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn wishing you a happy Thanksgiving.